Now, Hollywood mogul and convicted rapist Harvey Weinstein is scheduled to be sentenced in a New York courtroom tomorrow. He faces 5 to 25 years in prison after being found guilty of sexually assaulting a production assistant and raping an aspiring actress. He was acquitted of other charges. The accusations against Weinstein put the Me Too movement in the public eye, shining a light on gender relations at the workplace, the dating scene, and college campuses. According to a 2016 federal government report, 1 in 4 female undergraduates will be sexually assaulted before they graduate, and the American Civil Liberties Union estimates that 95% of campus rapes go unreported. Our next guest says we need to change the way we educate and talk about sexual assault on and off campuses. Jackson Katz is an educator, author, and social theorist who focuses on gender, race, and violence. He's written 2 books, The Macho Paradox, Why Some Men Hurt Women, and How All Men Can Help, and Man Enough, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and the Politics of Presidential Masculinity. He'll be talking about gender violence at UW-Eau Claire this evening. He talked to Judith Sears-Poisson earlier today.
Jackson, you had a quote on social media that garnered a lot of attention. You said, "We talk about how many women were raped last year, not about how many men raped women." Why does the conversation need to go there?
Well, the way that we use language is the way that we think, the way that we understand the world. And a big part of my both scholarship and activist educator work over the past generation, really, it's been a while, it's been several decades. A big part of my work has been to try to help people shift the paradigm and shift the conceptual framework that they bring to the discussions about sexual assault and domestic violence and sexual harassment. A lot of people still think those issues are women's issues that some good men help out with. And my argument is that these are really men's issues. I'm sorry, but men are committing the vast majority of sexual harassment, domestic violence, sexual assault. And yet the language that we use to talk about those subjects omits men and deletes men. So you'll hear people using passive language, how many women were raped, rather than how many men raped women. Even the term violence against women is problematic because it's passive. There's nobody doing it to them. Women are experiencing it, but nobody's doing it to them. So if you insert the active agent in linguistic terms, men, you have a new phrase, men's violence against women. It doesn't roll off the tongue as easily, but it's more accurate and it's more honest. And by the way, can I also say, this is not anti-male in any way. I don't think that part of the problem and part of the reason why even women in the domestic and sexual violence field use sometimes gender-neutral language and passive voice is because they're worried about getting pushback from men and sometimes hostility from men who are offended by the implication that they're somehow part of the problem. And as a result, we have this real stasis and real lack of forward movement. If men will say it, it'll take some of the pressure off of those women who are worried about getting that kind of pushback. So I always appeal to men, not just boys and young men in college and young populations, but adult men in positions of institutional power and cultural authority. And if more adult men will start saying, look, this is about men. We as men need to own this stuff. We need to stand with women as our partners and allies. If more men would say that and we use the active language, then it would open up space, I think. And we have a chance at really seriously addressing these problems in a way going forward.
You mentioned several different arenas there where men are able to stand up and say, this is not okay. This is not how we should be acting. You are going to be speaking at UW-Eau Claire this evening. You spend a lot of time on college campuses with that population. Why do you think there is such an issue of sexual violence on college campuses?
Well, we have a big problem of sexual violence in our society and in the world. College populations, the typical traditional age of college populations is right in the center of the highest level of perpetration, like the 18 to 24 year old age group. You have lots of young people coming together in social and other confined spaces. And you have lots of alcohol. You have, you know, the sexual culture, if you will, is, you know, right in front of you and in a college population. So, I mean, it's similar to militaries in the sense of the age group. The predominant age group is young, late adolescence, early adulthood. I think for all those structural reasons, that's what we're talking about. It's not something specific to a specific campus. But clearly, sexual assault has been a big problem on college campuses for decades. This is not a recent problem. It was a problem when I was in college. I mean, we've made a lot of progress as a in the field or as a movement against sexual violence. We've made a lot of progress in identifying the problem. I don't think we've made as much progress in and by the way, in providing services for victims and survivors and support for victims and survivors. It's not perfect by any stretch, but we've made a lot of progress since the 70s. But I think we still have a persistent problem, in part because we have this larger cultural problem that persists.
Have you seen any colleges do a really good job of, as you said, providing not just services for survivors, but prevention and really holding perpetrators accountable?
Yes and no. I mean, I wouldn't want to name any specific colleges or universities. I would say that in my extensive work across the country on college and university campuses, there's what the status quo is hardly adequate, and especially in the prevention side of the house, which is what I do mostly. Yes, there are different programs, there are different schools that have great violence prevention coordinators and Title IX offices. Although the Title IX world is having to work with the pullback by the federal government, by the Trump administration in terms of Title IX enforcement. So there's these big political questions that have to be addressed and how that plays out on college campuses. But I have to say, I think that colleges and universities could be doing way more than they're doing in a general sense in terms of prevention. But it costs money. It takes time. People's time. It takes institutional commitment and follow through. A lot of this takes both thoughtful, examination and research. But also, I think we have enough research. To be honest with you, I think we need more committed leadership, people in the positions of administrative leadership, taking bolder steps than they've taken. And it's not an easy thing. I and many other people have been at this for decades, and the progress is one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back. I will say we need more men who are in positions of institutional leadership who are willing to identify themselves publicly with this set of issues. And I think what we've had is some incredible women and a handful of men.
We're talking with Jackson Katz right now. He's an educator, author, and social theorist who focuses on gender, race, and violence. He'll be speaking at UW-Eau Claire this evening. And Jackson, Wisconsin's National Guard Adjutant General was recently removed from his post because it came out that he intentionally ignored the protocols in place on how to address multiple complaints of sexual assault and harassment. You consult with the military frequently. How challenging is it to make change in those organizations and in that culture?
I think it's complicated. It's both easy and hard. In an authoritarian and a hierarchically organized institution like the United States military or any military, if you get buy-in from leadership at all levels of command, if you get buy-in, you can make changes much more quickly. If you don't have buy-in, then it's much more difficult. Even with the buy-in, I don't mean to minimize the challenges because you're trying to change institutional culture. And some of the best thinking, I think, in the field at this moment, if you will, in 2020, in the field of domestic and sexual violence prevention, is that you have to change culture and environments locally and in a broad sense. And to me, one of the most obvious ways of changing culture, changing the local environment or the broader environment, is through leadership. And if you have good, strong leadership, you can change those cultural environments. You can make it clear that abusive behavior, harassing behavior is completely unacceptable and contrary to the group's values, and there'll be consequences if you harm another person or if along a continuum, not just if you're physically or sexually abusive, but if you're engaging in behavior or even talk that helps to diminish others and contribute to a culture that minimizes sexual assault and domestic violence and such. I would say over time, the military is addressing these issues. It's imperfect, and it's a huge institution with deep, sort of traditions. And I think some of the shift that's happening is really happening, but it's not happening fast enough for a lot of people who work in this area. It's not happening fast enough.
And briefly, Jackson, there's been some criticism of and concern that The Me Too movement has resulted in men being afraid to even talk to female coworkers, that their honest intentions can be taken as unwanted advances. Do you see that as a problem, and how do you respond to that?
Yes, I've definitely been working on the issues of men's response to Me Too for the, you know, since Me Too really broke in 2017. And I do appreciate that a lot of men are very unsure of themselves, and they're very unsure of what the new norms are and what are the expectations and what does accountability look like and mean. I think there is a period of time, and it's, you know, it's not talking about 1 or 2 years. I think this is a much longer shift that's happening in the culture, where new norms are being formed, if you will, and there is new accountability in ways that didn't exist before. And I think some men are wildly overreacting. I do think that some men who say, I can't even talk to women, I can't even make any comments, I think that's wildly overstated. But it shows you how badly we've been doing in helping boys and men, and I'm talking about crossing class and race and ethnicity and age, how badly we've been doing in socializing boys and men to work with and interact with their female peers in ways that are healthy and normal and not crossing those lines on a regular basis.
Well, Jackson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
Jackson Katz is an educator, author, and social theorist who focuses on gender, race, and violence. We talked to him about his presentation on gender violence at UW-Eau Claire. That's this evening. It begins at 7:30 in the Schofield Auditorium. You can get more info at uwec.edu.